today. Some of them, obviously, it's Valentine's Day? Again? Look, I just don't like the world telling me what to do. I don't like God's people being pressured into spending money that they don't have for something that, frankly, we should be proving our love to those we love all year long. And here's what I know. Here's what I know to be true. And that is one day of flowers and candy and gifts and things, they're not going to make up for me being a jerk the rest of the year to my wife. So if that's what you're thinking, guys, it's not going to happen. It doesn't make up for it. So, but you know, again, it's kind of, now I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, why didn't you say this last week before I spent all this money? Sorry, okay? Besides, honestly, holidays like that and things like Mother's Day and Father's Day, I'm wired a little differently, and I don't know if it's because I'm a pastor or not, but my heart always goes to those people that it could be a very hurtful day for. Let me just say, there's nothing wrong with being single. God did say that it's not good for a man to be alone, but it didn't necessarily mean he had to have a wife or something like that, because God did make us to need each other. But you know, it could be very hard to be single. You know, the Apostle Paul was the greatest or the most significant Christian, at least in the New Testament, and he was single by choice, and he said he could do more for God that way. So don't be. You know, I hope it's not a hurtful day to those that are single. Now, let me move in then to what the real message is. That's a long explanation as to why I don't have some cutesy little message about Valentine's Day. That's as good as it gets. All right. Now, let me talk to you very, very frankly, though. You know, I think the concept that we have of Valentine's Day, though, is about trying to improve a relationship. And that's, you know, buying flowers and all that, you know, one day a year, buying candy, all that, that's not really going to change your relationship. There is a guaranteed way. There is one thing that the Bible tells us is a guaranteed way to improve romantic relationships, but not just those. Also, parent-child relationships, friendships, business partner relationships, every relationship in our lives. There is something that God gave to us in Scripture that is a guarantee that will improve those relationships, you know. It's oddly enough, the thing that will make my relationship better with my wife has nothing to do with her. The thing that makes my relationship with Ken and I as friends has nothing to do with him. And I could go on, because it's not really about them. In fact, it's also something that is so glaring in Scripture. In fact, we're going to look at it. It's so glaring in Scripture, it amazes me that we miss it. And when I say we, I mean all of us. We really miss it so often. It's this incredible thing, this simple thing, this incredibly simple yet amazing truth that God tells us. And he says, this will make your relationships better. This can make all your relationships better, and yet we miss it so very often, even though he puts it in Scripture over and over and over. In fact, God planted it right smack dab in the two most memorized passages of Scripture in the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about a single verse like John 3:16 or Jesus wept, but passages of Scripture. When we think about passages that people memorize, that children memorize, that maybe many of you have memorized, we're going to test ourselves here in just a minute. There are two passages besides, you know, Psalm 23 is kind of one where everybody sort of knows the first verse and half the second verse. So they all start it, and then it's like it sort of trails off, and they let whoever's leading finish it. But these are two that we have memorized. When we were kids, we memorized them. So that, what are they? Well, the first is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. You know, people have memorized the Ten Commandments for a very long time. And the second one would be what we call the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer, right? You agree? How many of you have those? How many of you think you have those pretty well memorized? Raise your hand. Wow. Okay. So there's like three people. I'm the most amazing pastor in the world. There are three people in my church who know the Lord's Prayer. All right, let's test ourselves. Let's do this. You all at home, you shout these out, and we won't hear you, but you just shout anyway, because the rest of the people in your house that are still in bed, they need to wake up. So let's talk about the Ten Commandments. All right, let's see if we can. We're going to do these in order. I want you to shout out the answers to me. We'll do them one at a time, and I'm even going to help you by putting the verse on here with a blank. So what are the Ten Commandments? All right, first thing we know, the first commandment is, "Ye shall have no other what? Gods before me." The second one, You shall not make any graven images. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in. See, you guys, now I feel so much better. They at least know the first three commandments, or at least the fill in the blank word. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I forgot to put a period there, sorry. Now, number five, honor your father and mother. This is the one that all parents start with. They basically start there, you know, with kids. You're going to write out the Ten Commandments. Well, you're going to write out the last six, and you're going to do them twice. That's going to start with honor your parent, your father and your mother. Number six, you shall not, now here we get some thou shalts, okay? Thou shalt not what? Yeah, you're like, okay, I know what some of them are, but I don't know what the order. Well, let's start with the big one. Thou shalt not kill, okay? And number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not. What's funny about that? Wait, why are you laughing on thou shalt not commit adultery? Huh? Oh, you shall not commit murder? Oh, okay. Wait till you get to the last one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You shall not lie. Number nine, you shall not steal. And finally, you shall not covet. Okay, and it actually is your neighbor's wife, but I didn't want to leave a blank there. You shall not blank because I can't trust some of you. So that'll make a slow boat all the way through the crowd here. You shall not covet. All right, so look, that was not hard, was it? See, we know these. We know these. I mean, you may not be able to recite them all, but basically we know these. These are incredibly familiar, yes? And we talk about, and of course we understand too, there are more than 10 commandments given to the people of God. There were 613 commandments given to the people of God. But these are kind of the big 10, the ones we talk about, all right? So let's talk about then the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. It's not really Jesus' prayer because he was just giving them an example. But let's talk about the Lord's Prayer. We actually find it in Matthew chapter 6 and also in Luke number 11. But let's just kind of do the same thing with it. Now let's fill in the blanks and see how well you know the Lord's Prayer, all right? Verse number 9, here we go. After this manner, therefore pray ye. This is Jesus teaching his disciples. Our Father which art in heaven. There's one. Hallowed be thy name. There's two. Thy kingdom. Thy. See, we, you know, now I want to encourage you to bring your Bible to church. Those of you at home, I would encourage you to find your Bible before the video starts and get it out. I really want to encourage you to do that. But, you know, you don't really need your Bible for these, do you?
No.
We know this. This is often quoted at funerals, and it's often quoted at different gatherings and maybe recovery meetings and things like that. Let's continue on. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, we know these, don't we? We know these, and I'm glad. I'm glad we know these, and I'm glad kids memorize these, and I'm glad people even say them, and all of that. You know, as we think about this, you know, and we look at these, how the familiarity of these, I think we oftentimes focus on the content, and we miss kind of the bigger truth, the overarching truth that comes out of these. I'd like to go back to the Ten Commandments, if I could, please, and explain to you what the point is here. So I want you to notice. As we look at these, go ahead and put them all up if you would. You'll notice that the first four of these all have to do with our relationship with God. The last six all have to do with our relationship with one another. We'll find the same thing in the Lord's Prayer. As Jesus was teaching them to pray, he also began the first four pleas. There are 10 pleas in that prayer. When he's given us a model, and again, please understand, the model isn't something he wants us to repeat. The Apostle Paul told us not to use vain repetitions. But Jesus was saying, look, here's the example. Here's something to guide you. If you want to know how to pray, here's a guide for you. But he followed the same pattern that God had given thousands of years earlier to God's people when he gave them these 10 commandments, and the first four all have to do with our relationship with God. You know, our Father, he said, I want you to know that I don't want to just be your God, I want to be your Father. You follow me? He said, in the Lord's Prayer, it's just like this. He said, first of all, there has to be an acknowledgement that I am your Father. You see, the point that God was trying to make is, if we will get our relationship with him right first, then all the relationships that come after that with one another, they will also become right. That's the truth of today. It's a simple thing. God gave it to us in both the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Supper. And he's just simply making this point. If you will get things with me right, then I can help you make things right with everybody else. But the opposite is also true. The opposite is also true. He said, look, man, but what do we most of us focus on? We focus on those last ones, right? See, we're today, there's so many couples today, this is a terrible day for them because they're so focused on their relationship with each other, and a day like Valentine's Day will bring that out, or there's a parent and child issue, or there's a friendship issue, something is broken down in a relationship, and we're always looking at that, and what we fail to do most of the time is go back and realize that before my relationship with Jeff ever broke down, first I broke my relationship with God. We saw this, and we're looking at this on Wednesday nights. This has been this way from the very beginning. As soon as Adam broke his relationship with God, he then broke his relationship with Eve. And we can continue on. And the same thing, as soon as Abraham broke his relationship with God by not doing what God told him to and not obeying God, he then broke his relationship with Sarah. He broke his vows with Sarah. And he hurt an innocent young lady in the process. You see, this is how God set it up. And God is trying to give us this truth, this very, very simple truth. And he's simply saying, the reason that I've put these things first is because you can't do the last six unless you first do the first four. I think we could all look back. We could all look back to the time we really screwed up. Okay, fine. You bunch of hypocrites. You fine. Look back at the last time I screwed up, okay? If that makes you feel better. Yeah, that's thank you, Diane. Appreciate that. She said, which time? So, look, we can all look back at the last time we really messed something up. And what we'll find is before we ever mess something up with each other, we first messed something up between us and God. It always is that way. And that's why the order is so important in both of these passages. You know, our God said, I want you to, if you'll get your relationship with heaven right, then relationships with earth on earth will be so much easier. It's really incredibly simple. The last time I messed up any relationship on earth, if I look back, what I'll probably find is that I didn't put God first. I'm going to say that again. The best gift that I can give that lady back there in the sound booth is to keep myself right with God. Because if I don't keep myself right with him, I'm for dead sure going to mess it up with her. Look, I know that some of you say, oh, I don't know. I know people who are happily married and they're not. This is not about, God didn't write this to the heathen world. He wrote this to his people. He said, my people, those who follow me, if you want to do this right, you've got to do it my way. Parenting, romantic relationships, you name it, friendships, God has it all, business relationships. God is trying to tell us that this is how it's always going to work. You know, the truth is, we would not treat people badly if we didn't treat God badly. We wouldn't be unfaithful to people if we weren't first unfaithful to God. When we're unfaithful to God, then it's pretty easy to understand why we're unfaithful to people. You know, these two relationships are so interconnected. These two things are so, so interconnected, this thing of our relationship with God and our relationship with people, that Jesus actually looked down on earth about 2,000 years ago, and it had become such a mess. The world, the relationships of people had become such a mess that Jesus came in the form of a child, he grew, and he died on a cross. But before he did that, he brought a message to the world. He said, you know, you've complicated this religion thing. And by the way, we're good at complicating things, aren't we?
Yes.
I mean, we're really good at complicating things. We, you know, I like things simple. I like things to be simple. I don't like to read instructions to put something together because there's nothing simple about that. I've got a smoker, a little small smoker sitting at my house, and you know that I'm going to put together, but it's probably going to be a long time putting it together because I've already looked at there are like 80,000 pieces to it. And it's going to be a long time because I hate that it's so complicated. I like things simple. Our friends that own the Dip Donut are still are Jenny and what's your name? Carl. we're like that. I mean, we're like that. I go in, every time I go in, I order 12 of the same thing. You know, that's just, it's simple. But we complicate things. We know how to complicate things. And Jesus came along and he said, you know, you've really complicated this thing. You've really complicated your relationship with God, and you've really complicated your relationship with people because of that. And so here's what Jesus said when he came. He said, I'm going to simplify this for you. And watch what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 35. Notice, he's being questioned. He's already put the Sadducees to silence. Now the Pharisees are taking a run at him to tempt him. Notice, then one of them, which was a lawyer, and by the way, time out. I love Matthew and how he words things. I love the fact that Matthew put "which was a lawyer" off in commas. You know, he kind of said, you know, I kind of look at it like, you know, the Holy Spirit is saying, Matthew, write this, you know, then one of them tempting him, saying, asking him a question, tempting him. And I can see Matthew just sort of comma, who was a lawyer, because I was there, I know he was a lawyer. And the Holy Spirit saying, I didn't say that. You know, and there's this argument going on. And finally, the Holy Spirit said, yeah, okay, that's fine. Go ahead, put it in there. That's just how I read the Bible. But one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question tempting, saying, Master, which is, notice, the great commandment in the law? Now, we just read 10 of them, right? And there are 613 of them. This guy's asking him, which is the great one? Which is the big one? Which is numero uno in terms of all those commandments in the law? And Jesus hears his question, and he answers this way, verse number, here we go. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, I would imagine at that point the Pharisees like, yeah, that's a pretty good answer. It's going to be, you know, you can't really argue with that. I can't really take issue with that. I can't say, hey, that's a pretty good answer. And you would think that would end it right there. But Jesus doesn't let it end right there. He said, the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. But then Jesus went on, verse 38, and he said this. He said, this is the first and great commandment. But then he kept going. And the second, and I'm sure the Pharisees going, wait, I only ask you for one. So Jesus, probably knowing that, he said, the second is like unto it. In other words, the second one is just like it, but it is the second one. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you see what Jesus did there? What Jesus said was the greatest commandment is first, love God. Secondly, love your neighbor just as yourself. You see, Jesus brought those two same concepts together. He said, if you will get the first one right, the second one is almost automatic. Boy, you are a sluggish crowd today. He said, if you get the first one right, the second one's almost automatic. If you get your relationship with God right, you'll have very little trouble with the rest of them. And let's face it, we all know that to be true. We all know that to be true. When we are doing right by God, when we're living right, acting right, thinking right, and again, I know none of us do that perfectly all the time, right? But the closer we get to that, the better our relationships with everybody else is. And the times we've really messed things up, the times we've really messed things up with our spouses, the times we've really messed things up with our kids, the times we've really messed things up with our friends, the times we've really messed things up with our worship, our ministry, and so on, is the times when we've gotten ourselves away from God, when we have failed to keep it right with God. And so, you know, so Jesus was making the point here. He said, on these two commandments, he said, all those other commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, he said, if you just simply get those two right, and the truth is, if you just get the first one right, the second one is almost a done deal. Amen. So why is it that we spend most of our time on our relationships with each other? Right? That's what we do. I do dozens of hours of counseling every single week. And it's almost always the same thing. We're always focused on, he did this, she did this, this person did this, this is what's going on. You know, I don't like this about this person, I don't agree with what's going on here. We're so focused on each other. We want a fix. We want, when I'm sitting down with somebody and I'm counseling somebody, they want me to know, what do I do about my husband? Well, first of all, there's nothing you can do about your husband. That's out of, you just can't. We're not fixable, most of us. No, what can I do about my husband? What can I do about my wife? What can I do about my kids? What can I do about this? What can I do about my boss? Well, what we really need to be asking ourselves is, what can I do about me and God? How can I get God and me back together? Because if God and I are together, then the rest of those relationships have a chance. So, you know, as we as I wrap this up, here's the point. You know, we don't just need to walk with God, we need God to walk with us. Let me explain what I mean. We need to get our relationship right with God so that He will then come with us and help us with all those other relationships. I'm sorry, or do you think you can do that on your own? You know, my best efforts have gotten me in trouble most of the time. My best thinking. Anybody else? You know, if you have the opportunity to have the one who knows how to get it done, the one who really knows how to do it, who's willing to come along with you, why wouldn't we do that? You know, if you found out that your house had old wiring that was dangerous and could burn down at any moment, and you had to rewire your whole house, do you think you would do just fine on your own? Or would it maybe be good to have a master electrician beside you? I'm just asking, I'm not saying you can't do it. Look, I've already wired houses before. Here's what I know. I know if I had somebody who really knew what he was doing beside me, it would turn out better. Yes or no?
Yes.
So why do we think we can do marriage without God? Why do we think we can do child rearing without God? Why do we think we can do life? Why do we think we can be good friends? You know, well, I know how to be a good friend. Do you? I know how to be a good father. I thought I did once too. Now I know better. See, God says, look, I want to come along with you. I love that the message in the song. In fact, several songs that we've heard today. God wants to go with us. He'll never stop fighting for me. He wants to be there for us. I loved your testimony, Brandy. You know, you said, I tried. In fact, your exact words, I think, were, I tried to walk in this world by myself. And then you realize God wanted to walk with you. What an amazing thing that is, and what a difference it makes. Look, it's not rocket science, people. It's not rocket science, dear child of God. He said, with me, all things are possible. But he said, without me, does anybody know the rest? You can do nothing. You can do nothing. Can we get our order? Can we get the order right? God first, another second. You know what the amazing thing about that? As I look at that, and I'm done. As I look at those Ten Commandments and we look at all those things, never one time in there, God clearly made it him first, yes? God first, then others. Did you notice he ran out of space before he added me? In other words, he was telling me, you treat me right, then you treat them right. And he didn't have time to tell me to treat myself right. So I wonder what the problem is. I wonder why I give in so much to temptation. I wonder why we give in to this, and I wonder if it's not because we're putting ourselves somewhere where God's supposed to be, and then other people are supposed to be. And he's basically saying, look, you do those two things, you'll be happy. Can we all go back to that last time? Here's what I'm going to ask us to do. Let's all go back to that last time we really messed something up. Where was God in the process? Where was God in the process? That terrible financial decision we made, was he involved in that? That terrible mistake we made in a relationship, was he involved in that? I think we'll find if we do that, we're going to find that all of our really bad choices, all the times we really mess something up, is because we first broke our connection with him. If there's any hope of fixing, and by the way, there's always hope of fixing. I love the song, He'll Never Stop Fighting For Me. You know, I never stop fighting for a marriage. I never stop fighting for parents and children. I never stop fighting to try to reach a soul and all that. But I'll quit long before God will. God will never stop that. But we have to let him do that and get him involved early in the process. Before we make our next big mistake, let's get ourselves to where God is walking with us. Let's clean our lives up. I said, let's clean our lives up. I mean, come on. We all need to clean our lives up. There are some things we need to clean up. Christianity, the church, I talked about this earlier. When Jesus is going to come back and judgment's supposed to begin at the house of God, the people of God ought to be, we ought to be making sure that we're walking, we're talking, we're thinking, we're acting the way God would be pleased with. Iron sharpens iron. Do that with one another and so forth. You get the idea. I know it's a simple message, but it's a simple truth, so let's not miss it. Let's do what we can. Let's do what we need to do today to get ourselves back in line with God. Then we'll work on the relationships with each other.